baptism's all about, because you kind of go over to the pool, you see people going down and getting baptized, and you think, God, I kind of want to do that too, mom, dad. And so this is kind of a good chance to find out what is going on. Why do we do this? You know, why do we go through this process, this ceremony that we call baptism? And so this morning we're going to just take a look at a few scriptures and just look at why we do this. First of all, first and foremost, is because it is something that Jesus commanded us to do. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And so the reason, again, number one, that we actually do a baptismal service is because Jesus gave it as a direct command. You know, it's actually the first, you know, one of the first things you're able to obey is you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Our Lord has given each one of us an instruction to be baptized. And this morning, we want to take a little closer look at why that's significant. You know, I mean, certainly the fact that he told us to do it is enough, obedience to our Lord, but obviously there's tremendous significance behind why we're doing what we're doing this morning. And when we talk about the word baptize, if you look it up in the Greek, it means baptizo, which to actually means to submerge or submerge. And the significance of the submersion or submerging is really, you know, goes hand in hand with the symbolism of what it represents. And we're going to look at that a little bit later. But first of all, I thought I'd kind of give you a little testimony. This is one of my favorite little baptismal testimonies I like to bring out, because a lot of us connect with who this guy is. Paul Harvey wrote in Guidepost magazine about his own baptism. He said that even though he had received almost every reward for his broadcasting ability, that he still felt empty inside. One summer, however, he and his wife were vacationing in a place called Cave Creek, Arizona. Sunday morning came and they decided to go to church. So they went to this little church and there were only 12 other people present. He believed in Jesus but had never gone forward in a church service. One night he had prayed in his hotel room and asked Jesus to come into his heart, but he felt there was still something missing. He said that the preacher got up and announced that his sermon was going to be about baptism. Paul Harvey said, "I yawned. But as he started talking about it, I found myself interested. He talked about the symbolism behind it and how it symbolized the complete surrender of one's life to Jesus Christ, and how that there was nothing really magic in the water, but there was this cleansing inside that took place when you yielded yourself to Jesus." He went on to say, Paul Harvey went on to say, finally, when he came to the end of his sermon, he said, "If any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and join me here at the pulpit." Paul Harvey said, "To my surprise, I found myself going forward. The preacher had said there was nothing magic in the water, yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened, a cleansing inside out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys, just one immensely happy one. I felt the fulfilling surge of his Holy Spirit in my life." Paul Harvey went on to say, "The change this simple act made in my life was so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act, and because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in talking about my beliefs." Baptism is significant, obviously, because Jesus commanded it. But there is such a blessing that goes hand in hand with baptism, and he kind of brings out here, no longer did there seem to be two Paul Harveys, but there was one immense happy one. One of the biggest lies that the enemy comes against a young believer, a baby in Christ, is the fact that you're not really saved. You're not really saved. You know, did you really mean it? Was that really true? Did that really, you know, what if? And the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that that would happen, because invariably, after we've given our life to Christ, we've probably sinned at some point since then and kind of questioned, Was that just an emotional thing? Was that a real thing? Or, you know, what's going on here? The power, one of the powerful things about baptism is it publicly settles your declaration of your belief in Jesus Christ. In other words, you can make a decision in your heart. Even we all have our own stories of what that was like when we called upon the name of the Lord. But there is something about going down in those waters of baptism and just declaring publicly that, yes, from this day forward, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I don't care who knows it. It's powerful. It helps you to settle the question that, yes, I have believed. It wasn't just something I felt at one time. I drove a stake in the ground. And that's what water baptism does. It drives a stake in the ground of your confession in Jesus Christ. And there is just something powerful whenever you confess Him, Jesus, before men. Jesus says, I will declare you before my Father who's in heaven. You know, there's just something about taking that step of faith and declaring Jesus, that there's a blessing that goes hand in hand with it. And when you go down in the waters of baptism, you declare Him before men. You can't, you know, it's not like you can see something, but you can perceive in the Spirit that you've just obeyed God. And God, Jesus, is declaring you before the Father who's in heaven. It is powerful for us. It helps to bring stability to our decision in Christ. Yes, I have believed in Jesus. In fact, on such and such a day, I proclaimed Him and I was water baptized. Not only is that a blessing to you, but that's also a blessing to your family and friends, your loved ones. You know, a lot of times, you know, people might pass on and go, you know, die, and you don't always necessarily know where people stood. You might know that maybe they had a spiritual life, maybe they didn't. Did they believe in Jesus? Did they not believe in Jesus? But when you get publicly water baptized and you declare your faith in Christ, there's also no doubt for those who are behind you, your survivors, that yes, they were a Christian, they believed in Jesus, they were water baptized, which was a declaration of their faith. What a blessing, what a comfort, even to family and friends, you know, who survive you as you go on to be with the Lord, that you leave behind that declaration of water baptism, that public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. So water baptism it's powerful. It's powerful to us personally, in helping to kind of bring stability to that decision, a point in time, stake in the ground that, yes, this really happened, and I believed, and also, again, to those who are, you know, who know us and love us, that, yes, my loved one believed in Jesus. In fact, what we do at Door of Life, I don't know if we got our camera here today or if we can use a phone, but typically what we do is we take pictures when we do water baptisms and give you a certificate, a water baptism certificate of your picture when you got water baptized. Now, obviously, that certificate is not your entrance to heaven, but that certificate is a great reminder that, yes, I have believed in Jesus, and yes, I have believed, and I went down in the waters of baptism. This really happened at a fixed point in time and date. I declared my faith in Christ for God and the whole world to know. It's powerful. Jesus knew it would be powerful. Jesus knew it would be a tremendous help, a blessing to us as we began this walk with Him. And so we're going to take a quick look again at just some of the symbolism that's involved so we can understand a little bit more what's going on. When a person is water baptized, basically what happens is the minister will hold them up, you know, as they're in the water, but then, you know, you put them, the person literally completely under the water, you know, as you declare you're baptizing, and then you pull them completely out of the water like this, and so they're going down, completely submerged, and then they're coming back up, and that is powerfully symbolic, all right? But physically, if you haven't witnessed the water baptism, that's what happens, and as we look at some of the symbolism behind it, we can see in Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, But Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you'll hear these references a lot of times in Scripture. I've been crucified with Christ, okay? And that can be a little vague. What does that mean? I wasn't there 2,000 years ago on the cross. Well, you weren't there physically, but your sins were there. Your sins were there 2,000 years ago. He did take upon himself the sins of the world right there at that moment. So even though you weren't there physically present, your sins were. And when he died, and the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When he took upon himself our sin and paid for the price of our sin, you know, that was our sin that was absorbed into Christ. And when we've called upon him, it's as though we had died. He took our place. But in Christ, it's like we died with him. And then he goes on to say, we'll look at some other scriptures. This is Colossians 2, along these lines. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Here it is, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So when he was on the cross and he was dying for our sins, and he took upon himself, you know, the Bible says the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It was laid upon him. And so when he absorbed that, and then, you know, the Bible says that, you know, he died, you know, ultimately he took upon himself our sin, died physically, and then he was raised from the dead. And the scripture likens, you know, that buried, like, when he died, it's like we died. When he was raised, we were raised because he took our place, all right? I wasn't physically present. I didn't physically die 2,000 years ago, but my sin in him, that old person that I was, God saw it die in Christ. And when Jesus was raised again, it was like he saw me raised again. That's what he did in Christ. It's a powerful thing. And so baptism symbolizes that. When I go down, it's like I died with Christ. As he took upon all my sin, and when he was raised, I was raised. And that's what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, what happened, again, symbolically. But God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so there's a powerful symbolism here of us dying with Christ and being raised. So we watch the story, especially on Easter. We see Jesus on the cross, crucified. He's buried and he's raised again. And we see that Jesus did that as our Savior. But spiritually, he was dying with our sin. And when he was raised up again, it was the life that we would receive too, to make us brand new, make us born again. And that's what the scripture says right here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I love the Amplified. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Before you were a Christian, before you called upon the name of Christ, the Bible says you were by nature a child of wrath. Well, after you call upon the name of the Lord, you are no longer by nature a child of wrath, okay? You still have the nature, you still have the law of sin and death warring against your mind, but you are by nature a child of God right now. He told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And you're born again on the inside, and you are now by nature a child of God. Behold, the manner the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. He has made us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And in the same way, I know it's kind of hard to maybe mentally wrap your mind around this because I wasn't physically present 2,000 years ago, but I know that my sin was laid upon him 2,000 years ago. And I know that my old, what the Bible calls it here, your old previous moral spiritual condition, you know, in the mind of God, you know, that death, that passing away, happened when Jesus took my sin on the cross. And the new creation was bought for me 2,000 years ago. So it's like, if you can understand the symbolism, the old previous moral spiritual condition is what goes down in the waters of baptism. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, it's the new creation. All right? Now, obviously, the work was done 2,000 years ago, but baptism symbolizes that work of redemption. So when a person is baptized, they're saying, I died with Christ, my old spiritual moral condition. You know, it's like it was taken care of for me on the cross. And then when Jesus was raised, I was raised together with him, brand new. You know, Jesus was raised, glorified. God raised me, made me a brand new creature. The old passed away, behold, all has become new. You know, the words this morning, even the prophetic words, was about the fact that you're new. You've got divine purpose living on the inside of you. We live in a culture that is a depression-oriented world. It's a lie of the enemy. You're a brand new creature in Christ. Jesus is a part of the body of Christ with significant functional purpose. And that's a celebration of baptism, the fact that you are a new creation. You are raised up. We don't keep you under the water. We raise you back up. And that's powerful because you are new. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. So there is, in a sense, like a resurrection. Kind of an interesting parallel to baptism. Baptism is a lot like a wedding ring. Baptism is symbolic of the washing away of our sin. It is also symbolic of a new way of life. It has been said that baptism is to the Christian faith what the wedding ring is to marriage. It is a symbol. Like the wedding ring, baptism draws a mark on the ground between the past and the future. Like the wedding ring, it says, from this day forward, I stand with God. And so you are recognizing the fact, too, in baptism, you're brand new. This is a new day. I'm going forward. I have a new life in Christ. So that's kind of the basic symbolism behind it. And then sometimes, you know, some of the questions that I'll get regarding baptism is, you know, what is the right age to get baptized? How old should you be when you're baptized? Now, I was raised Lutheran, and as a Lutheran, we were sprinkled as infants, infant baptism in the church. And I will say this, if you've been infant baptized, sprinkled in the church, don't discount that as nothing. Infant baptism, parents who bring their children forward for infant baptism, it's really comparable to what we would call a baby dedication at Door of Life, where the Bible says, you know, parents brought their children to Jesus, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. If you've been a part of, you know, an infant baptism service, it is a powerful service, really, of blessing that child and parents dedicating themselves to that child and to raise the child. And so there is important value and significance that takes place at that ceremony, okay? So I don't want to discount that. But at the same time, when you look scripturally at the functional purpose of baptism, you'll see that baptism is going to accompany the believing, you know, a person's personal faith in Christ. Let me see here. Little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them, you know, and so let the little children come. For such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them, departed from there. And that's really kind of what we do, you know, at Door of Life with our young children, babies, is we dedicate them to the Lord, like what Jesus did here. But when it comes to baptism, here's the definition of the right age to be baptized. And this came out of a story where Philip, the evangelist, was talking to an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was ministering to him and telling him all about Jesus. And it says that Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." So we see a condition there. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So when he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So what's the right age to be baptized? It's the age that a child understands that Jesus Christ, you know, basically what Jesus Christ did, that he died on that cross for their sins. You see, that's what he did to Philip in verse 35. He opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. He preached what Jesus did on the cross. He was looking, the eunuch was looking at a part in Isaiah, you know, and was wondering, he was wounded for our transgressions. So he basically taught this guy that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and you can believe upon him and receive the forgiveness of sins and have a new life in Christ. He preached that to him, and the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he believed and he understood the gospel. He understood what Jesus did for him on the cross. And as a young person, if you understand, you know, that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, everything you ever did wrong, all your mistakes, that he took upon him all the punishment for your sins, and that you can believe on him and receive the forgiveness of your sins. Boy, if you can understand that, and you call upon the name of the Lord and you receive his forgiveness, you are a candidate to be baptized in water. Now, as a parent-child relationship, you know, we didn't, I think 8 was as young as we went as far as baptism, but we also had some time with our kids to really have them explain to us and communicate to us, you know, that the fact they believe it. You know, it's not just a matter of, you know, wow, sister did it, I want to do it too, that looks like fun. It's really where I'm going to say, okay, do you understand what Jesus did? What is baptism? You know, do you understand how he, you know, what he did on the cross? Why was that important? And so when a person, a child understands it, that's powerful, that's precious. And it's worth waiting, you know, till they understand that. So that baptism experience can be very special to them too, all right? You don't have to hurry up and get them baptized so they'll go to heaven. Baptism does not save you, all right? Baptism is a powerful obedience to Christ that has tremendous benefits, stability, strengthening in your life, but ultimately it's calling upon the name of the Lord. For as many shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, with the mouth, for with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Baptism is one of the first steps of obedience we do is to our new Lord. But you don't have to be in fear about baptism. That, oh, I got to hurry up and get them baptized so that if something were to happen that they'll go to heaven. No. I mean, they're believing on Jesus. That's ultimately what saves a person. But it is obviously a powerful, important commandment of our Lord that we follow and believe in. But that just kind of just addresses a few questions. The other question that I'll get a lot of times too is, okay, I was water baptized, you know, before, but it just really was not, I kind of did it to do it, or sometimes you can do it to get somebody off your back, you can do it for a lot of different reasons, but it really wasn't the significance, and you weren't doing it with the understanding really of what Christ did. And so there can be a situation too where somebody who's been baptized before is really, you know, is walking in the real appreciation of grace and understands it and really gets it. It's like, yes, I want to be water baptized as a declaration of my faith in Christ. I see it. I get it. Praise God. Now, if that's you, that's something between you and God. Sometimes people ask me, do I need to be baptized in water again? Well, it's really something that you've got to know in your own heart before God. I'll say this, you know, you don't use water baptism as a continual rededication thing, where every time you feel bad and you missed it, and you got to get water baptized over and over and over and over. No. It's really a one-time event that declares your separation from this world and that you are a child of God and you're going forward and living for God. Again, if you had an experience where it really didn't have the appreciation and understanding when you did it, and you really want to do it now with that full understanding, great. That's between you and God. So those are just kind of some of the questions that'll come up. And so, but basically, you know, that's, let me see here, water baptism. You know, the basic symbolism that I just want to get across, you know, this morning is the fact that in baptism, water baptism, you're symbolizing the fact that the old self was crucified with Christ. You're raised a brand new person in him. And it's a powerful, like I said, more than anything, it's an act of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and you'll be blessed, and you'll receive a blessing. And for those of you that aren't being water baptized today, encourage you to come on down, if you're able to be a witness. You know, it's kind of like being a witness at a wedding. You're a witness. You're part of the men that these people are declaring their faith in Christ to. And it's just a great opportunity to be a part of that. There is just a wonderful blessing and presence of the Lord there when we make that confession of faith and we believe. And so a lot of times what I'll do when I'm just, you know, praying for somebody is I'll just say, you know, I can just kind of let people either just share a little bit about, you know, have you believed in Jesus? I'll just kind of ask the question, you know, and they can just say, yes, I've believed in Jesus, and I want to say a little something, but we'll just kind of get that person who's going to go down to verbally confess that, yes, I have believed in Jesus. You know, he's the Lord of my life. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. You know, it's that declaration of faith that the eunuch made. That's the one that we make, too, that he is our Lord, he's our Savior. So, so praise God. We are going to we're going to go ahead and pray right now, and then we're going to take up our offering, and then we're going to begin to make our way down to the Open Hearth Lodge here. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you so much again for this time, for this service, for these precious people that are about to go down in the waters of baptism. We just pray, Father, a special presence of your Spirit, Lord, to be there for each one of us, Lord, as we're encouraged by their confession of faith, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you will powerfully touch each heart and affirm the precious faith, Father, of the people that are going down in these waters of baptism. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.